This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How far have the Giants fallen?
Jones throws a pass upfield. It's deflected, intercepted.
This is what you said on this show the day after the Giants drafted him. This is you, Joel Klatt.
I thought that the New York Giants had a disastrous night last night.
The Rich Eisen Show.
The thing about Daniel Jones, while he was very good, he wasn't an above the X's and O's player.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Peacock's Brother from Another, Michael Smith, actor J.K. Simmons. Coming up, Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick, Boston Globe sports columnist Dan Shaughnessy. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of this Wednesday before Thanksgiving edition. Of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air live from Los Angeles, California. NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 85, which is NBC Sports Audio. We follow the Dan Patrick Show on both of those entities every single day. Take you to Brother from Another at the top of the hour right here on NBC Sports on Peacock. Michael Smith, who along with Michael Holly hosts that show, he was on in hour one. It was just a terrific conversation about what was going on with LeBron James being suspended one game fewer than the guy he punched in the face, and Isaiah Stewart. I mean, that's the only way to phrase it, right? I mean, we've been talking NFL throughout the day as well. J.K. Simmons, the Academy Award-winning actor, joined us in number two. He's a diehard Ohio State fan. Figured it was perfect timing to have him on the show this week with Michigan-Ohio State coming up on Saturday, part of a big-time weekend of football, not just college but professional. Dan Shaughnessy, who's been chronicling Boston sports for decades, he's got a new book out on the Larry Bird Celtics years. He'll be joining us in about 20 minutes' time to talk about that. And obviously the Patriots are en fuego, to use again the Dan Patrick phrase. But joining us right now is somebody who I've been following since, you know, I started with the NFL Network in 2003. He is now part of the paparazzi for years now with Fox Sports. He was kind enough to run in my charity run for St. Jude earlier this year. And he's come up with launching the dual threat system training program. Michael Vick here on the Rich Eisen Show once again. How are you, Michael Vick, here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line? What's up, Michael?
What's up, Rich? How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Where have I found you? Where are you?
I'm in South Florida, Rich, and still recovering from that hamstring.
You can say that all.
Now it was charity based, and I enjoyed every moment of it. But man, Rich, I laid it all out on the line.
You did.
I laid it all out on the line,
Michael. You ran a 4.7. You gotta be kidding me. You know what I mean?
But hey, Rich. But if I'm telling you, I'm saying it on your show. If I'm ever invited back,
you are
going to train.
Yes.
I'm going to give it 3 months of training. I'm going to make sure I don't pull my hamstrings so I can give everybody a valid score.
Well,
that time that I posted, mm-hmm. That's not my time at 41. Shouldn't have been my time at 41.
Well, here's the deal, Michael. The combine has now been announced again. Last year there was no combine because of the pandemic. The combine's been announced for Indianapolis in late March, so we're beginning to start planning for it. I think we might run it there. If we do, you might have to, you know, lay off the turkey leg a little bit this week. You know what I'm saying?
That won't happen. Give me a heads up post Thanksgiving.
Okay. What is your Thanksgiving looking like, Michael? Where are you going to be?
Well, I got family coming in town. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I got family coming in town, and my mom, my sisters, my brother. I haven't seen my family in a while. They all in Virginia. I'm a Florida native now, so you know it's good to have family in town. And we haven't spent Thanksgiving together in the last, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years because of everybody's traveling movement. So very thankful time, and I'm looking forward to it.
Michael Vick here on the Rich Eisen Show. So let's get right into it, Michael. If you had to lay, you know, your reputation and your expertise on one team in the NFC to go to the Super Bowl in this who knows what year, which one would you choose right now, Michael?
Right now, I really like Dallas. And I say that because, you know, when I look at their offense, I think Dak is peaking right now. I think he's playing at a high level. And I think once Kellen Moore looks back at this Kansas City Chiefs game and loss, he'll realize that I need to utilize Zeke Moore somehow, some way. So that should make him a better play caller in the run game. And I can see Mike McCarthy assisting in that. And then the receivers, once they get Amari Cooper back, you know, $20 million man needs to be on the field. You know, whatever protocol needs to happen, and You know, I like to compliment with CeeDee Lamb. So, you know, the defense, they're missing some pieces and some guys are out. But once they get those guys back, I think, you know, they can make a Super Bowl run. And not to discredit any other teams, if I had to specifically point at the team and what right. I like a lot about them, it's the Dallas Cowboys and what they put on display.
Well, and, you know, they have shown, with the exception of, I think, last week, they've been able to overcome any problems on their depth chart, that would normally take a team down. They've had a pass rush despite not having Tank Lawrence and now Randy Gregory, and it looks like they're going to get both back. And that one game Dak was out, Cooper Rush was fine. But, you know, Tyron Smith can come back, and that might make them a winner on Thanksgiving. That might be enough. But what about the Cardinals? Let's just throw that one out there, man, because Colt McCoy won two division games on the road without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. They're going to be the one seed coming out of Thanksgiving weekend no matter what happens on Sunday. So what do you think about their chances, Michael? What about that team?
Yeah, well, I said a couple of weeks ago on our kickoff show that I felt that Arizona was the best team in the league, and I the one. I really meant that because when you look at them as a whole, all around, this is before on both sides of the ball, and probably the most complete we've seen all year. And then when Kyler was out there, they was killed, and I can't actually remember. Lost their head to Green Bay, and they just trending in the right direction. But it was good to see Colt be able to step in because injuries happen, and guys got to be able to step up at the right.
Well, Michael, I don't know if you're moving around or anything, but your phone's cutting in and out right now. Can you hear me? You there, Michael?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, you cut in and out right there. You want to repeat what you just said about the Cardinals because
I was saying with the Cardinals.
Let's put him back on hold here. Would you mind dealing with that offline there, Mike Del Tufo? All right. It's one of those things. You just got to make the call. You know, you just got to make the call.
I mean, I'm excited for him to prep for this 40, though.
You think so?
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's also funny that he's so disappointed with his time, but
if
a normal person ran
that. Every
last
one of the guys that ran, Vic, the Hall of Famers, and whoever, they were really, really competitive about it.
Yeah, that doesn't go away, right?
They were really competitive. The only one who wasn't competitive about it was Rod Woodson.
He was kind of like,
yeah, he's like, yeah, I know, I got bad knees, but I'm just doing it for you, Rich. I don't care what I'm running.
Well, Rod's got nothing left to prove.
And then when he got knocked out in the first round, or you know where we were thinking about doing it two times in a row, and then everybody kept dropping like flies. And then Vic ran a 4.7 and said that he did it with a bad hamstring, and we're all like, "Oh yeah, that's not going to be beat." You know, you there, Michael?
Hello.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yes, that seems like you're sitting next to me. That's how much better it is. That's like, it's great.
All right.
It's great. So, what are you saying about the Cardinals? I'll give you one last crack at that one.
Yeah, and the Cardinals, I think they do everything right. It was great to see Colt McCoy be able to step in when Kyler went down. Injuries are going to happen, and guys got to step up. And usually, when that happens, the entire team is uplifted because you lose your leader and you know, I got to do my job today. We got to help Colt. He hasn't gotten all the reps. He's a guy that we know he's capable, but, you know, we need to do our job and make his job easier, whether on defense is getting the ball back or offense, you know, just playing smart football. So with Kyle in the lineup and when he comes back, this team is dangerous. I said on the Fox kickoff show a couple weeks ago that I thought that Arizona Cardinals was the best team in the league at 5-1. So, you know, I still think that's the case. You know, a lot of moving parts, got to get some guys healthy. But, you know, as of right now, Arizona looks good.
So what do you think is ailing the Bills, Michael? I don't know how, you know, deep you might be into the All-22, but I don't know what's going on. You know, the Saints are banged up. I don't know if we're going to be able to get an answer to it. I think Buffalo should win this Thanksgiving night game coming up on NBC. But what is going on? Because that team suddenly is now in second place. And we were talking about that team being the team to beat in the AFC right around September going into October. Now we're at Thanksgiving. And I don't even know if they're going to be playing a home playoff game this year.
Yeah, right, that's now. Correct. And I think the loss to the Tennessee Titans that night took a lot out of the Buffalo Bills. It was, you know, one of those deflating losses where you, like, you give it everything you got, and then in the end it don't go right. And it's almost like an overtime loss, or it's almost like an overtime tie where you just felt like you put so much into the game, you got nothing out of it. I think that game kind of set them back mentally and from a confidence standpoint, because from there it just hasn't been consistent. And I think Josh Allen got to pick this team up, and collectively they got to look at what they haven't been doing right and try to right those wrongs.
Who wins that division when it's all said and done? You think the Bills pull it out, or New England's going to win it because of the way they're looking? What do you think?
Honestly, Rich, I've been a big fan of the New England Patriots this year, and you know, I kind of gravitated towards them because I picked them as my fantasy defense in this fantasy league. I never played fantasy before, but you know, now I'm somehow involved in fantasy.
Okay.
And so I find myself rooting for them every week, but while I'm watching them, I'm seeing Mac Jones in the matchup just coming around, and how he's kind of learning how to play the game, learning how to win, and it's been fun to watch. So I think the Buffalo Bills are in trouble. They got two games versus New England, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And those are going to be the two key games in that division, and obviously two games that can shape the AFC playoff picture. And I don't think teams are going to want to see New England because they're getting better each and every week.
Who else is on your fantasy team? Who's on Michael Vick's fantasy team?
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh,
I had an amazing week last week.
Yes, you did. With the Patriots Jonathan defense, and, too?
With the Patriots defense and Jonathan Taylor, I pretty much whipped the guy single-handedly. So it was a good week. It was a good week in fantasy, and I, you know, got other guys. You know, Russell didn't help me out as much at the quarterback position, and, you know, I got some other guys, you know, who produced. Yeah, but, you know, that's a story for another day, Rich. I'm winning over there.
Okay, so Russell Wilson is your fantasy – Michael Vick's fantasy quarterback is Russell Wilson.
Yes, he is, and Jonathan Taylor is my running back, star running back.
So serious actual football question here, Michael Vick. Did the Falcons make a mistake drafting Kyle Pitts and not taking a quarterback or trading back and trying to help themselves out roster-wise? Is it fair to have that conversation here right now?
I do think Kyle Pitts was a good pick for the Falcons. And I do think that Atlanta was thinking about, you know, the future of Matt Ryan, you know, seriously. But, you know, you look at a guy like Matt, and you can see that he still has some years left and maybe want to build around him. But I did think that it was an opportunity to draft one of these young guys. Maybe you could have got Mac Jones and you could have set Mac behind Matt. And, you know, that wouldn't have, you know, been beneficial for New England. But, you know, for Atlanta in the long term, you know, I think it would have paid dividends. Or, you know, any of those guys. But, you know, you got a great guy that you can learn from behind, a great quarterback and Matt Ryan that you can learn from and mm-hmm. gain some experience and knowledge. And, you know, so, yeah, we kind of missed the boat right there. But, you know, good thing is the draft next year if mm-hmm. that's what they think they need to do. But I like Kyle, and, you know, you remind me of Plexico Burress if they can use him right and, you know, being paired with the right quarterback. Yeah. Know how to get the most out of him.
Plexico Burress at tight end. That's kind of frightening. So if you had Justin Fields' ear right now, what would you tell him, Michael?
If I had Justin Fields'
ear, if you had an ability to talk to Justin Fields, what advice would you give him right now?
So, you know, I spoke to Justin, and, you know, I just told him this is a learning opportunity. You know, this is year one, and expectations are high. Yes, people want to see promise. And then that's fair. It's only fair to the Bears fans, the fan base. And I think he gets that. But year two is going to be the year that you got to grow, and you have to put all your skills in display. And people are going to want to see, you know, what Justin Fields is really all about. So I try to help him understand the game from that perspective. Like, you do get a trial run in year one. You do have some guys who, you know, the Mac Joneses of the world who you can step into, you know, in the line of fire and get it done. But you got to have the right supporting cast, and, you know, that's not the case then in Chicago right now. So, you know, once they fix everything around Justin Fields and try to, you know, help him, then, you know, definitely won't be any excuses. But he understands what's at stake. He knows his position and what, you know, and how he has to produce.
What about the scheme that's around him, what you're seeing for him? What about that, the coaching staff?
Yeah, the scheme is not beneficial right now because we haven't seen the production. And, you know, as a coach, you know, and Matt Nagy and Matt and I, we know each other well, and, you know, we'll probably have the same conversation. You know, it's a lot of things that can go wrong on the offense and why things won't go right. But, you know, I think, you know, maybe you run out of – sometimes you run out of time and you don't have a chance to, you know, get any do-overs. So, you know, they got to clean it up quickly. You know, I think tomorrow's game against Detroit, they have to win. And it's a must-win game, and they got to go on a win streak. So we'll see what happens. But they were supposed to win last week, and that didn't help.
That is correct.
Not winning that game versus Baltimore didn't help.
Well, I mean, look at the kid from Utah comes out of nowhere. Lamar Jackson sends him a text as Lamar's coming on the bus saying, "I'm watching today. I can't make it. You got to go."
Right.
I mean, and then that kid makes the throw of the game and wins.
Right.
You know.
Right. And like he does that, and everybody's watching, and it's like, why can't we get that, you know, from either of our quarterbacks? So that's kind of just, you know, the state of the franchise.
Before I let you go, tell me about this system, this dual threat plan that you have put together, Michael. Because, you know, what do you think it'll help me?
Rich, this is my lane. It's an opportunity to teach. It's an opportunity to enlighten kids. Do a lot of football camps and, you know, I teach a lot of kids the game of football, but I only get a split second with them. You know, in that day, you know, it's just a small fraction of time. So, you know, I figure I put out the dual threat system, still get a lot of kids who ask me, you know, whether I'm out, you know, at Home Depot or whether I'm just out hanging out with my family. You know, how can I be a dual threat quarterback? What do I need to do? And, you know, I got a great opportunity with this company, Pro Class, to put it out. And, you know, it'll be all types of demonstrations from now until the end of time, you know, just building speed and how to, you know, chase perfection at the quarterback position. So, you know, you can go to www.proclass.com/Vic and, you know, you get a lot of education and teaching, and it will continue to grow, you know, as we continue to build content.
So what would my second threat be? I already know what my first threat would be through the system training. What is a dual threat? What would it be? Talking and running? Is that what it'd be? Like that would be?
Nah.
What would it be?
Hey, why you either got to be passing, or you got to be running, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two. Move the chains. No talking in between.
Okay.
Unless it's in the huddle.
But that's my game, though. Talking is my game. That's my problem. You know.
All right. We teach verbiage too. Depends on what offense you in.
Okay. What offense am I in? I don't know. Spread. I'll
just say
spread.
You're like a run and shoot guy.
That's right. I don't need a tight end.
Run
what do I need
then?
Guy. Yeah,
all
that's right. Run and shoot.
I'm busy now with a Warren Moon half row.
Yeah, that's right. I need Glanville on my ear. That's exactly what I need.
No, that's the last guy you need. Very motivating.
Take care of yourself, Michael Vick. Have a great Thanksgiving with your family. We'll do this again soon.
All right, you do the same. Thanks, Rich.
That's Michael Vick, the one and only right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Check out his dual threat training system. We'll take a break. We'll come back, be as on time as we possibly can for Dan Shaughnessy. He's got a new book out on the Larry Bird Celtics years. We'll talk about the Patriots doing it again. If this reminds me of 2001, when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're done with a little show and tell. I've got a bunch of ticket stubs. By the way, this envelope is still so full, and I've got so many credentials here to my right. I don't know what I'm going to do with this stuff.
Throw them in the garbage.
No. Wow. That's now you sound like, is that what Susie texted you to say to me?
No, but I'm
channeling. She called me a filthy hoarder the other day.
Channeling her.
This is true. This man is known, he's been covering Boston sports for forever and a day. He's got a new book out on the old days of the Larry Bird Celtics called Wish It Lasted Forever, Life with the Larry Bird Celtics. Dan Shaughnessy here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Dan?
I'm good, Rich. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Congrats on the book.
I appreciate that. Good times. And tell Susie hello for me.
Yeah, I know. She's wanted me to say hello to you, too. Why write the book, Dan? What struck about the book?
Good question. I mean, again, this isn't to, you know, we all know who won those games and the stats and Hall of Famers, but this was a time when the NBA kind of came of age, and we had this amazing access. This jumped out at me during the pandemic when the, you know, access got to zero. The moat just kept getting wider and wider, and then with abundance of caution, there's no access now. But we live with these guys. This is like, you know, when the dinosaurs and Larry Bird and myself roamed the earth. We travel with them. They flew commercial, hotels, lobbies, bars, go to practice, no closed practices, be on the bus. It was like, except for not having the groupies or the money or the fame, it was like being on the team, Rich. I mean, we were like, we were there for everything. And, you know, watching the Last Dance and some of the classics they showed in the without games going on during the pandemic, I kept seeing my young self sitting there with the giant Michael Caine glasses and the big hair, and you know, and again, that's when the lowly media got to sit next to the bench. They hadn't figured out how to monetize those seats yet, so we were part of that. And of course, you had the Bird Magic, you know, take over the '80s, and the Bird Magic Celtic Laker Finals were like the Ali Frazier of that time. And I just had all these stories about being around these guys and the ability to tell the readers what they were like, how secure they were in their greatness, and what a special time it was when the NBA really came of age.
So you're saying at some point in Logan Airport, a Boston fan flying to Cleveland for just a business trip, got to actually see Robert Parrish board a flight? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. When we would get off the plane, they were all in first class because they're so tall and they had those perks. But we'd come off the plane behind them, and you'd see these people just walking down the airport hallways, and they'd be like, oh, my God, I just saw all these tall guys at one time. Those must be a basketball team. And and then the lowly writers would be trailing them, and we'd hear all the whispering about Larry Bird or Robert Parrish or whatnot. But, yeah, it was we waited for bags. We did, you know, all the – Rich, when the COVID bubble, when they had that tournament with no fans and in Orlando, you had to, if you went to cover that, it cost $60,000. You had to quarantine for 2 weeks and sign a waiver saying you would not talk to any athlete if you saw them anywhere. And that's where we did all of our work, was waiting for bags in the hotel bars, the lobbies, being on the bus. We were really able to tell the readers what these guys were like, and it was a very special group that they had there. The Lakers had it going in that decade as well, and the league really took off because of that.
Dan Shaughnessy here on the Rich Eisen Show. It's interesting that you have such a, I guess, a positive view of it, and it's sort of a very hagiographic view of it all. Me being from New York, I don't mean to stomp on your book, but I have written my own book, and if you want to, we actually have a cover. Maybe you'll see it later on. It's entitled "Thank God It Ended," living through the Bird Celtics in New York, and there's a shot on the cover of Bird shooting over Ewing in the Garden. So I have a different view.
Well, it's so funny. The '84, you know, Hubie Brown. I just saw him last week. You know, he's 147 years old, like myself, and he's still doing the games, and he's so sharp and great. I love him.
Right.
I gave him a copy of the book. But the highlight of his professional life was that '84 series with Bernard King. And they took him 7 games. I mean, Bernard was averaging 40 a game. I remember Cedric Maxwell called me over during practice before the first game of that series because Bernard was getting 40 a game against the Pistons in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Max said, there's no way a bitch walks like this is going to get 40 off of me. And then he did a mimic of Bernard's, you know, unusual gait.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, these guys, they were trash talkers, and they didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bernard wouldn't shake his hand for the next game. Max said, hey, if you're scared, get a dog. He didn't care. It was just that's how they were. And that series went great. And again, for Hubie, they almost beat the Celtics in Game 7 at the Garden.
Yeah, I remember those Knicks, you know, Pistons series with Kelly Trepuka.
Yeah.
Right? Now, honestly, in the old Joe Louis Arena, I remember those as a kid. And then Bernard is my favorite player. It still is jarring to see Julius Randle wearing his number 30, to be very honest with you.
Yeah, you're right. That's not right.
You know, well, I mean, hey, look, I mean, I guess, you know, Julius Randle at least is doing well by that number as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, just is there any story that just that you forgot about that you found notes
for?
Oh,
yeah, I had little notes and stuff. So, again, Larry Bird, he could hold all these things in his head during a game. So he'd have a shooting drill at the old Boston Garden, you know, late in the afternoon by himself, dark garden, come out with an equipment guy and just do the perimeter, shoot for a half hour. All you heard was swishing. I'd get there early, plug in my Stone Age computer right next to the bench. He'd come over, he called me Scoop, he said, Scoop, what are you working on? I'm like, I'm doing an early story. You were approximating the NBA record for consecutive free throws, Calvin Murphy at 88. So don't miss one tonight or I'll look bad in the paper. So during the first half, he got fouled. He's at the line. He makes the first. He looks over and winks at me before he makes the second. I mean, guys don't do that today. And he would, actually, you know Mike Saunders, the trainer of the Knicks.
Sure.
Larry was banking threes at Madison Square Garden before a game because he was getting bored. He won the three-point thing 3 years in a row and started banking them. And Saunders said, you can't do that in a game. And Larry said, if you give me $5, I will. And sure enough, they get way ahead of the Knicks. Fourth quarter, he banks a three, runs by the Knick bench with his greedy palm extended. And where's my $5, Mike?
Love stories like that. Absolutely love stories like that because he was the legend. That's part of the legend of Larry Legend, you know, and that's
well,
right.
Well, and the legend, so he was so dense. All he cared about was basketball. You know, he's, you know, poor guy, rural southern Indiana, and worked his butt off, became great. Mm-hmm. We were at the Atrium in Dallas to play the Mavericks, and we're in the hotel bar. It's a day off, and Springsteen is playing next door at the Reunion Arena. And the doors flew open, and kids came rushing through the lobby to get to the concert. Mm-hmm. And Larry looks up, and he goes, what's that all about? I said, well, Bruce Springsteen's playing next door tonight. He said, who's that? And I said, Larry, he's the U of rock and roll. He goes, oh, he must be pretty good then. And, you know, so, you know, he got tickets. He went. He said, yeah, it's too loud for me. I don't like that music. But he sweats a lot, and I appreciate that work ethic.
That's the legend. There's no doubt about that. So did he really know where the spots on the floor were, like the dead spots on the floor, or is
well,
that just the legend
I mean,
stuff?
The Bull Gang, you know, when you have the ice in the parquet, you're going back and forth, and they right. assemble it, and Cheers did a whole episode on the bolts and all that stuff. So right. No one really knew. It changed from game to game. And if he, when they would reassemble the rims, when he was doing that shooting drill in the afternoon, any time he missed one, he'd say, oh, Bull Gang screwed that up. Something wrong with the basket. It's off by a quarter an inch. Otherwise, that would have been nothing but net. So, you know, he had the thing down. But that's a myth that anyone actually knew when the ball wasn't going to come back to you.
Yeah, I know. Again, all of these things are why I wrote my book, Thank God It Ended, you know, because honestly, McHale and Parrish, I despised ML Carr growing up because he would just wave the towel.
He was baiting people.
Oh, my gosh. He did nothing. He did nothing but wave a towel. That's all I thought he did.
ML Carr, he was a guard in a federal prison before coming to the NBA. He played in Israel. He played overseas, played for the St. Louis Spirits.
I had no idea
about that. And he was Larry Bird's bodyguard for the first 5 years of Larry's career. He had very little skill left at the end, but he got in the heads of the Lakers in the greatest final ever in 84. He would pound on their door before the game and say, come out here, you L.A. Fakers. Come out and take your beating like men. Come on out here, Tragic Johnson. I mean, they didn't care. And then at the end of the game, he'd steal the ball and go dunk on them and just make them even more furious.
You're loving these stories, Brockman. I know you're.
I mean, I cannot wait for this story.
It's all great. What's Auerbach's role in all of this?
Well, you know, Red was just smart when, you know, the whole chess, when others are playing checkers. He assembled these teams. Go back and look at those rosters in 84 when the Celtics beat, you know, Worthy, Magic, Kareem. Those guys were all blue chip conference, UCLA, North Carolina, Michigan State. The Celtics starting five went to Virginia Commonwealth, North Carolina Charlotte, Indiana State, Centenary, and Pepperdine. So Red would say, you know, easy to get blue chip and win like that. Let's see you do what I do, win with guys from second-tier conferences. There was all kinds of layers to that. And Red, I loved Red. You know, my old man smoked cigars and windows rolled up driving to the dump every Saturday, so I was used to it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed being around that. And he was wise, and everybody hated him. And he hated New York. Do you want to know why he hated New York, Rich?
Why is that?
Because he grew up there, but he felt that the NIT screwed his George Washington team out of the NIT appearance in 1937, and he never forgave that. He said they just didn't want a little school from Washington to come in and beat their ass, St. John's and all my ass, you know. And he never forgot it, and he couldn't get past his hatred of all things New York, even though, you know, he was a Brooklyn guy.
Of course. Dan Shaughnessy here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, let's talk about the here and now. Does this look like 2001 all over again for the Patriots? What do you think?
You know, it's not bad, Rich, and I know you had a great day there, went to the game. I heard all about it here, and good for you guys.
How about that?
It's you don't want to say Mac Jones is Tom Brady because it's ridiculous.
Not.
We know that.
Yes.
But at this stage, he is. I mean, he's doing what Tom did at this stage, which was game management, you know, short passing game. He's accurate. And he doesn't choke in there. He takes hits. He's taken too many hits, frankly. And Bill, I guarantee you, Bill is enjoying this year probably more than any year since then, more than 18-0, more than that stuff, because this is hard. And they've rebuilt it. The defense is great. They're ferocious. And the offense, they get by. And he's just beating the pants off these other coaches, and it's a big advantage every week. We don't know where it's going to end, but as you know, the conference is not super strong this year, and they've kind of got the why not us attitude here.
Right, and the 2001 was, you know, the only thing that's different is that there's not some $100 million contracted
right.
quarterback that had already taken
right.
the franchise to the Super Bowl that's there. I guess Cam was that role in a way, right? But
right.
but he got cut, so it was Mac's gig from the start. Outside of all that, we are all, and many people are, just like, well, how far can this team really go with this kid anyway? And in 2001, even John Madden said that when the game was on the
yep.
line, that they should play for overtime in the Super Bowl. Like, even to the very end, nobody believed it until Brady didn't believe it. He had his hands on his head in that famous yep. photograph on the podium. Like, why not this year is a repeat? For real.
It's there. I mean, I think they're a team nobody wants to play right now. I think the Colts are that team right now, and the Chiefs look like they got it going. But I'll tell you, I mean, Tennessee's coming into this weekend. They're 8-2. That's going to be tremendous. It's a 1 o'clock game. I'm surprised they kept it there, and we can't wait for that one because they have a tough. They have Buffalo twice and the Colts after that. So,
right.
I mean, you know, it's getting harder for them.
What's the Vrabel-Belichick relationship, do you think?
Well, Rich, that's a good question because he's not afraid of him, like all these other guys who wet their pants and look across the sideline. And you don't have that, you know, Vrabel's got – he knows what they're up to. When they beat them in the playoffs in 19, Brady's last game,
mm-hmm.
Vrabel was pulling some of that rule book stuff that yep. Bill likes to do. Oh, go read the rule book. And, you know, Bill was out of tearing his hair out because Vrabel did it to him. So, yeah, I mean, he was a wise ass when he played here. You know, you think of him because of the position he played and the size of him, he's not going to be a, you know, great big acumen guy. No, he was, they all knew he was smart, and he gave crap back to Bill even when he was a player. And now he's loving this. And, I mean, hell, he could be coach of the year if they don't stop losing to bad teams.
Dan Shaughnessy here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess tying in your book to the topic du jour in the NBA where LeBron suspended for a game, Isaiah Stewart one game more than LeBron because of the reaction to getting hit. You know, what – I mean, you're talking about old school basketball in your book. You're laughing already. I think you know where I'm going with this. It's like what was your sense of,
well,
of
I
all
mean,
of that?
That was unfortunate. The kid's reaction when he was bleeding and he's out of his mind. I mean, mm-hmm. that's unfortunate. And, you know, the league did what it had to do. But I know I talked to McHale, you know, just about how the 85-86 team translates to today's game because mm-hmm. they went 50-1 at home. They had 5 Hall of Famers. And could they play today? And he's like, yes, because they had 7-foot people and they had long-range shooters. And Rick Carlisle, who played on the team and coaches the league today, says it translates. But Kevin said, if we played by today's rules, you know, and the way they're calling it, we'd all foul out in the first quarter. So that would be a problem. And one last thing on that, mm-hmm. none of this hugging the guys on the other team afterwards or you know, assembling, where are we going to play next year? Let's get together and create our own team. Larry Bird hated Bill Laimbeer so much that at the All-Star annually, Larry would be named a starter, of course. His first instinct was to come to us in the lowly media and say, you have to let me know when those reserves are announced because I hate when Bill Laimbeer makes that team because it ruins All-Star weekend for me because I got to get on the bus at practice on Saturday and Bill sitting in that front seat and saying, good morning, Larry, and I got to say, screw you, Bill.
That's a real story, huh? I mean,
that's the fact.
I mean, literally hated him that much, huh? He literally hated him.
It ruined his All-Star weekend to have a teammate, Bill Laimbeer.
I don't blame him. I hated Laimbeer too. Like even watching the WNBA playoffs this year. I'm seriously
easy to do.
I'm seriously like we're watching it at home, and I point to my kids. I'm like, you see that coach? You see that gray-haired man? I almost used the A word, you know, but I had to. Honestly, to this day, I can't even watch Land of the Lost repeats, knowing that he was a sleestack as a high schooler. I hate the show now, even with him.
You know what else Larry hated about him? His Laimbeer's dad was a Fortune 500 guy. He was the only player in the league who didn't make more money than his father.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow. Great stories, Dan. Thanks for the call. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Congrats on your book.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. Same to you and your family. That's Dan Shaughnessy right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Wish It Lasted Forever is where all books are sold. Great stories, man. You didn't know that Bill Laimbeer, William Laimbeer, was a slea stack because they went to some high school kids, tall high school kids, said get in those costumes and walk around. If you look at the Land of the Lost credits, you'll see his name in it.
I had no idea.
Yeah,
and slea stack was like number 8 on my top 5 green characters.
Are they really greenish in a way?
They're green.
Would that have at least beaten out? Would Kermit the Frog at least beat out a slea stack? If it's TJ's top 10. Come on now.
Oh, Kermit's definitely on there. And Slea Slacks and Gumby.
Gumby?
And Oscar the Grouch.
We forgot about Oscar.
I know. I mean,
there's only 5 spots, guys.
Positive vibes.
I can't put them all in there.
Mr. Yuck is in front of them.
You're so funny. Positive vibes, man.
Positive vibes.
How great were those stories there, Christopher?
I mean, this book I'll probably read in like 2 days when it comes out.
How did he hear about me going to the Patriot game?
I'm sure your video got bounced around.
Really? So they're hearing me in the Boston market. The market. The Macket.
The
Macket. The Macket. They hear me in the Macket.
I used to hate Larry Bird so much, man. That guy was so
good. Dude, that's why that's the name of my book.
I know.
Put it up on one more time. The name of my book.
You couldn't like him.
It's called Thank God It Ended.
No, Larry was
living through the Bird Celtics in New York. Don't even tell me he was above being hated in New York because he was so good.
No, he was totally hated.
He was number 1.
We hated him.
And by the way, don't
I hated him more than Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah,
he was so irrational.
I'm a Sixer fan, so watching him and Dr. J scrap was like this.
He was not.
Because he was doing the stuff that Dan Shaughnessy was saying. Like, hey, today it's just like you see on Twitter, hey, announcer man, you said that the field goal kicker hasn't missed in 3 weeks and he missed. You suck. And Larry Bird's the guy who's like, okay. So I need 2 more to get the record, huh?
Cool.
I'll find you on press row and I'll wink at you.
You know what I thought that story was going to be?
That Larry missed on purpose?
That he missed on purpose to mess up Dan's story.
That's what I thought.
That's not a bad ending either.
That he was going to wink at Dan, miss.
Make him rewrite that whole story.
And make him redo the whole story.
And by the way, kids, don't let anyone rewrite history about Larry Bird. Larry Bird was a bad man.
He played a whole half left handed because he felt like it.
Because he could.
Because he ended it like scored 20 points.
There's a Twitter feed that had put out recently, I think during the summer. Did I text it to you too?
It was like a
3-minute highlight reel of Larry Bird.
This is the greatest.
I think it was the one of him shooting left handed for an entire half and all the shots.
I'm sure
that
it's on there. Yeah, it's on there.
I mean, Larry Bird walking into 3-point contest.
Everyone go to YouTube.
Hey, who's coming in second?
Go to YouTube. Subscribe, you know, obviously to our show.
Yes.
And please. Then put into the search engine Larry Bird left-handed. And I think that video's there.
Right, here it is.
It's not right, man. That's why I wrote the name of that book. Thank God it ended. Because it felt like it would never end.
Hot take. Top 5 player fan, of all time in the NBA. Easy, right?
Larry Bird's top 10.
10? Ooh.
He's not in the top 5.
Because top 5, you're talking Wilt and Jordan.
He's got kind of bumped in the last couple.
Yeah, they're guys.
LeBron
has kind of bumped Larry Bird out.
With his open fist or with his closed fist?
Close fist.
Okay.
Close fist.
Let's take a break. We'll finish up this show. 844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on the show. Positive vibes, guys. Positive vibes.
Positive vibes.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm making an NFT
we're back
out of
here
that,
on the show. Let's take some phone calls. The phone lines are all lit. Let's go. Let's go to Chad in Cincinnati. He's been waiting the longest. What's up, Chad?
Hey, Rich. Hey, guys. Hope y'all are doing well.
What's going on?
Two things. On Overreaction Monday, I just wanted to make a note of something that Chris said. Chris, you said that is it overreaction that the Cardinals could go 8-0? We could actually go
9-0. Yep, the 17th regular season game is a road game for the NFC this year, so you're right. They could go 9-0 on the road. It's entirely possible, too.
That's right.
Yep.
Yeah, completely possible. So I'm looking forward to that. And, Rich, my last question is for you. So, obviously, big game this weekend. Do you have a ritual that you're going to do? What's going to be your routine this Saturday? What, you know, wake up? Like, can you take me from when you wake up to when the game starts? What's your ritual?
Okay, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to tweet out something positive about Michigan. Then I'm going to swallow my own vomit for 2 hours. and then I'm going to sit down. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch it in a different spot. Normally, I've been watching it on the biggest screen in my house. I'm going to watch it in my office on another TV. And I'm just going to try and break the ritual that way. I might take a walk here and there. I might just go breathe the fresh air. And I'm going to have my kids around me. So just in case the ritual of me having to throw myself into the love of my family occurs. And I hope it does not, even though I love my family. We can do that. I can do that after the game. Yeah.
And Rich, when Michigan wins, because I'm calling it, Michigan's going to win this game.
Thanks, Chad.
Do you have a list of people to call?
Do you know the character Arya Stark of Game of Thrones? Do you know that one? You know that character?
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of hounds in my life. Who's first on that list? Oh, God. It's Albert Breer.
It's Albert Breer, first
on the list. But I don't want to go down that road. It's personal. Okay? Thanks for the call, Chad. Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. Number two is on our guest line right now. Hey, Liz. How are you? You there, Liz?
Hey, how's it going?
Liz Wald, everybody. What a blast from our past.
Hey. We're the Buckeyes, Liz.
Just because I'm not there every day doesn't mean I still can't do this. And Chad, you know, if you're still listening from Cincinnati, this is all a part of the ritual, my friend.
Yes, which is you calling and saying that there's something in, like, you're I don't know what it is. Normally, you're giving me a delicious chocolate peanut butter Buckeye treat. Did you send them and I don't know about it or what?
No, I was going to send them and then I got distracted. So maybe you're going to...
Come on, Liz.
Oh,
Liz,
boy.
That's bad luck.
All right.
Well, I was afraid they weren't going to get there in time, but I just feel like I need to rub this in a little bit that, you know, when we win on Saturday, this will beat the longest streak that Michigan has ever had, which was in the early 1900s. And we should have beaten it last year, but Michigan chickened out. And I'm sorry to say, you guys can't chicken out this year. There's no running away.
All right, Liz. And you're back in the state of Ohio. You're on your home turf this time around. So.
Well, currently I'm on the 11th tee of a golf course in Vegas, but
whoa,
Wow, living the life,
jeez,
right there.
Good job.
All right, Liz, I love it. So you're taking time out from your golf game to call and troll on me, and I haven't heard from you in a while. So that's good. I love it.
Some things never change.
Hit him straight, Liz. Hit him straight.
All right.
There you go. They're all coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah, so she's right. This would match the run of Michigan from 01 to 09.
Jim in Texas, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jim?
Yeah, Rich, quick story for you. 1973, the night before the big game, my roommates and I were sitting around talking about what we're going to do for the weekend. We decided to go up to the big house and scalp some tickets. So one of my roommates and I run into this fella who had two tickets on the 50-yard line for $50 each. We can't believe the deal we're getting.
Mm-hmm.
We're really down low. We buy the tickets, go and sit down. Early in the game, Ohio State, I think it was Archie, I'm not sure. I don't remember the play. But anyway, it was a long run back for a touchdown. And the band strikes up the fight song. We stand up and sing along. And at the end of the fight song, you know the cheer that they use. During the season and absolutely during the Michigan game, right?
Yes, I do. I don't know if it's repeatable, is it?
No, it's not. I can use the transposed version if that's okay.
Sure.
Muck Michigan.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim in Texas, everybody. So they're all coming out. The list is getting long. Jeff in Detroit. How you been, Jeffrey? We mentioned you earlier on the show. What's going on?
Hey, what's happening? And it's funny because I have not heard any of the show, but I had to call in and tell my guys happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I am so thankful to be able to listen to you guys every day. To all the Ohio State fans, suck it. It's coming your way, you guys. Michigan is going to win this weekend. And on a quick note, a friend of mine works down at Little Caesars Arena. Do you know Isaiah Stewart tried to run back out on the court through the other side of the tunnel? And the personnel, he was right there in the vicinity. Team personnel told him, dude, you're going to mess up your whole career trying to go back out there and go after LeBron.
Yeah. So is that why he never reemerged from
that's
the...
That's why he never can, because there's two ways to get out. And I guess he was trying to get back past the Detroit police. as well as some other. It was other team personnel that was in the tunnel that was trying to block him from coming out. But somebody told him, "Dude, you're getting ready to commit the worst
mistake of your life, yeah,
thing of your career, dude. For real, seriously." But yeah, man, I got faith that Michigan will pull it off this weekend.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. You imagine if Isaiah Stewart had actually been able to come back out of a tunnel and it was already calmed down and it was already done and he came back and he sucker punched LeBron.
Jeez.
Could you imagine? Well, that's the reason why he got a second game. That's right there. Because what if he had been able to do that?
But that didn't happen.
I know that. But he intended for that to happen until somebody obviously finally let him know that this is this would be the worst thing ever for you.
As David Stern said about Steven Jackson, he was not in a peacemaking capacity.
Well done there. Thank you to you guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Happy Thanksgiving
to you, bud. Happy Thanksgiving to you. I am thankful for this show. I am thankful for your friendship and partnership and you being here every day to make this as great a show as it possibly can be.
Absolutely.
To everybody as well, part of this program, to Adam and Smitch and Jordan and you, Mr. Hoskins, and to a feller who sits in when Del Tufo does something somewhere else, you know, to our booking staff, to Liz who calls in from the 11th tee in Vegas and to troll on me, to all our guests, and to you, our fans. I want to let you know I don't take you for granted. I'm very thankful. You know what we do here every day is a pleasure. It's you know. It's some doing to do it every day at the level that we want to do it at. And it's your viewership and your listenership, your streaming ship, I guess, if that's a word, is what keeps us coming back. Even on a Monday when I might be in a very difficult state. And I don't mean California. You know what I'm saying? Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Good luck, brother.
What I'm saying is I'm thankful for you. Thanks for taking in this program. We will chat again on Monday.